What's going on? Happy Friday. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, I've got a great show for you guys today. We'll preview all the college football matchups here in the state of Virginia. We'll talk UVA as they host ODU. Mike McDaniel from Sports Illustrated will join me at 1:30 to discuss Virginia Tech hosting Wofford and also go around the ACC for their matchups this weekend. We'll be joined by Fred Smoot, former Skins cornerback, at 12:30 on the show today. Parney from the Flying Squirrels will join me at 2 p.m. and we'll talk a little high school football with Zach Joaquin at 2:30 on the show today. I'm Adam Epstein. This is AWOD Radio. Phone lines are open throughout the show. I want to make this as interactive as possible. If there's anything you got to get off your chest, including how terrible Amazon was to start the game last night, I know it got better for a lot of people, but I missed kickoff, and that pissed me off. So phone lines are open if you want to chime in on that. 833-804-0910. That's 833-804-0910. Or you can tweet us at AWOD Radio. I'm joined by my producer, Sneaky Cheek. What's going on, Cheek?
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm all right.
Happy Friday.
Amazon's broadcast was weird. I know we'll talk about that.
Yeah, I know you said you had something you wanted to rant about.
Yeah, but I'm going to kind of pull the audio.
We've got so much to get to on the show today. I have to talk about the woman that was throwing up at the Bengals game. I get it. That was from last week, but I have to talk about it because as a season ticket holder for 15 years for the Skins, I saw a lot of crazy things, but nothing as bad as that. I can't get over that video. As I mentioned, Fred Smoot at 12:30. We'll go around the NFL with NFL hits. And the big thing I want to discuss with you, Cheek, is which NFC East team has the best chance to go 2-0 between the Eagles, the Giants, and the Washington Commanders.
All right.
On the Richmond Commander at 1 p.m., we'll break down Jack Del Rio's comments on Jamin Davis. I mean, can you believe how viral that went yesterday? It was just he was just dogging him. And that was your first-round draft pick last year, and he has not been good to start the year, but it was just one game. And yet, after I watched some of the plays that he was talking about, Travis Etienne could have scored 3 touchdowns. That's how bad Jamin Davis was. I'll give you my keys to victory as we predict Detroit Lions hosting the Washington Commanders. Again, that's at 1 p.m. for the Richmond Commander. I'm Adam Epstein. This is AWOD Radio. We'd like to start the show every day with the sports app.
Here it is, everybody. Clearly, this is the future.
Stats, scores,
highlights. Whoa, are you serious?
Wi-Fi plus 3G, 64K. This one.
The sports app.
All right, let's start in the MLB. Did you know Juan Soto for the Padres is 3 for his last 33 at-bats with 0 extra base hits in his last 11 games? With that said, I still think he's going to turn it around, but man, it has been bad news for the Padres since that trade. They're 4-6 in their last 10. They're about 10 games out now of the wild card. They've got no shot, and they traded everything. And it's part of that, you got to blame Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yeah.
But they thought they were going to get more than 3 of his last 33 from Juan Soto.
Yeah, hopefully that's just maybe the team sort of breaking apart with all of this, and maybe next year they'll be have more of their stuff together.
I don't know, man. It's just weird because Juan Soto was leading the MLB in walks when he was with the Nats, and now he's just swinging and missing.
I just want some competition in the NL West. I don't want the Dodgers winning every year.
In the NL East, the Mets still have a one-game lead over the Braves. We'll see what happens there. I do like the Mets to win that division. Did you see that Steven Strasburg did it? He was talking with somebody from the Washington Post. I was trying to find the article this morning, but the quote he said was wild, unbelievable here. Strasburg, of course, Nats pitcher who has not really pitched more than, 6 games since he was the MVP in the World Series. His quote was, "I realize the clock is ticking. It's been almost 3 years since I've been able to pitch competitively, and it's not like I'm getting younger." He opened up about his injuries, his tough summer, and his unknown future. Continuing here in the sports app, a little baseball news. What happened with the Squirrels last night, Chief?
Squirrels with a walk-off 12-inning win over the Erie Seawolves.
And I believe we have some audio to play for the audience as Jacob Hayward hit the game-winning RBI for the Squirrels last night.
Now the 0-2 pitch. Hayward sends a fly ball deep to left center field. Nobody's moving for it. Goes to the wall, and this game is over. Wilson scores from third. and the Flying Squirrels mob Jacob Hayward.
What a win for the Squirrels. And of course, the playoffs begin next week, September 20th, with a home game at the Diamond, September 22nd. We can't wait for that, Cheek. Let's move over to college football. So App State is actually the host of game day today. And I know my buddy lives in Boone, North Carolina. He was telling me it's already getting lit over there for game day. App State's so fired up after their big win last week over Texas A&M, who announced they're changing quarterbacks for this week's matchup against Miami. App State will host Troy for college game day. And then the next weekend, they will host James Madison University. That'll be a big one. But check out this one. College football coaches are the weirdest people in the world. The App State football staff has placed small wooden mousetraps all over the football building this week to drive a point home to the players. Don't take the cheese. In other words, stay focused and don't let all the accolades from last week beating Texas A&M ruin this week's matchup against Troy. Imagine that you're like the third string D end or D tackle, and you're just walking back from practice through the locker room. You just start stepping on mousetraps because you didn't understand the bit.
It's like a jackass stunt.
I know, it is. Also, UVA hosting ODU. But did you see this? They won't let the puppy for ODU, Hudson, attend the game.
Yeah.
They're claiming he's not fully trained. But look, he's so cute. I gotta rant about this. More on this story later. Let's go over to the NFL. So last night, Justin Herbert was hurt in the game. They did an MRI on his ribs. Nothing serious right now, but we'll see what happens, how the injury feels in a couple of days. He definitely played through the pain and nearly brought his team back into it, but it was that costly pick six that ended up being the difference. Cheek, what did I tell you yesterday, though? I said take the Chargers +3.5.
You did.
So anyone in the AWOD army on FanDuel hit last night, use the promo code AWOD. But how about Chase Daniel? He's really living the dream. He gets paid $2 million per year. You know what he did last night? He came into the game for one play. He hands off the ball to Austin Eckler. And you know what? I was watching the game and I was like, well, good for Chase Daniel. He just earned himself another contract.
He's still around, yeah.
Yeah, these backup. That's what pisses me off, because I get it. People don't like Kaepernick. People don't like RG3 because it's all about them. Those guys are better quarterbacks than Chase Daniel.
Yeah.
So the NFL is definitely blackballing people. But they just
else,
are.
Who else goes into that? Josh McCown, I guess, is in that category as Chase Daniel. God, who else?
It's just
these guys that were really good in college and have just kind of become long-term backups, and they make money. And
they make a lot of money. And so I'm kind of rooting for Justin Herbert to be out for like 5 or 6 weeks so that they have to scramble and sign somebody.
Because start Chase Daniel.
You can't start Chase Daniel, just like the Cowboys aren't going to be able to start Cooper Rush for the next 6 weeks. They're going to figure out something. Maybe it's just Will Greer, their third-string quarterback. But how about that? From Chase Daniel. Speaking of wide receivers being, or people being blackballed from the NFL, wide receiver Cole Beasley is reportedly generating serious interest from multiple NFL teams, but has opted to remain a free agent while waiting for the right opportunity. He took to Twitter to say that he is being blackballed for being anti-vax. I do believe he'll get a contract. I mean, you've seen in all these games, receivers are getting hurt almost every week.
Teams get desperate enough, yeah.
Of course. Let's go over to the NBA. So, Michael Jordan's last dance jersey from 1998, the NBA Finals, sold for a record-breaking $10.1 million on Thursday.
God.
I mean, who the hell has that kind of money to spend? And I get it. You know, that would look so dope in my man cave. But $10 million? It broke the record that was previously set by Diego Maradona, the soccer legend's Hand of God jersey. Do you remember that?
The documentary's good.
Yeah, from the 1986 World Cup. That sold in May for $9.28 million. The only thing that sold for more than this was New York Yankees legendary star Mickey Mantle's 1952 Topps card. That sold for $12.6 million. That really surpassed Jordan's last chance.
Half them are in the river.
Yeah. Let's go over to professional tennis here. And I'm going to try to dedicate a full segment to this later. But again, Roger Federer announced his retirement yesterday. It happened right before our show. The incredible Roger Federer is the most accomplished tennis player of all time. At 41 years old now, he has announced his retirement. His last one Grand Slam was in 2018. with the Australian Open, but the last few years have just been terrible on his body, including a couple knee surgeries in 2020. Richard Gasquet, who's a famous French tennis player, said Nadal and Djokovic are amazing. Quote, but Federer is unique. His one-handed backhand, his elegance and technique, he might be the greatest sportsman of all time. Serena Williams had some really nice things to say. Rafa Nadal said, dear Roger, my friend, my rival, I wish this day would never come. It's a sad day for me personally and for sports people all around the world. Our guy Christopher Clary from the New York Times wrote a really nice piece saying this is kind of a sad day for tennis because you're losing one of the greatest of all time. Mm-hmm. And you're losing two of them in the same year with Serena Williams retiring as well. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910, The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. What's the worst thing you've ever seen at an NFL game? Have you ever had somebody throw up on you? I've had a beer spilled on me many a times. I'm Adam Epstein. This is AWOD Radio. That story coming up next on The Fan.
Are you ready to join the AWOD Army? Tune in to the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM every day from noon to 3 on AWOD Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910, The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM. Looking forward to watching the NFL again this Sunday. It's just better when the NFL is back. The weekends, it feels like the weekends go by slower. You know what I mean, Cheek?
Yeah.
Because it's
Sundays,
like,
you're just there all day.
Right? Because Friday night, you can go out, have a good night, you know, in Scott's Edition. I'm probably going to be at Bingo Beer. I end up there every weekend. Then Saturday, you know, I'll chill a little bit at the pool, watch college football, hang out. And then you get a full day Sunday of fun. So it's really, it feels like it's a three-day weekend every week when the NFL is back. Speaking of the NFL being back, how about that woman who was projectile vomiting at the Bengals game? She's the star of week one. So during Sunday's Bengals overtime loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers, one dedicated fan refused to leave her seat. Instead, she stayed put as she repeatedly threw up on the seat in front of her. So the girl in front of her in the video, you could see, has a neck brace on, and she can't move. She can't get out of the way. I mean, it's just so wild. You could see she was definitely served a ton of adult beverages. She was seen sitting next to a White Claw. And so it has me asking you guys right now, what's the worst thing you've ever seen in a game? 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910. Or you can tweet me at AWOD Radio. Cheek, what's the worst thing you've ever seen?
Well, I will say I saw a reply, and I'm not sure it was from the guy who was in front of her or if it was someone who the guy was talking to, where she told them she was, like, rinsing with water. And I'm like, I don't know how that really makes it better, that it's just flooding down onto their stuff in front of them. But it's one of the most disgusting things I think I've ever seen. The worst thing I've ever seen, you said, at just an NFL game?
Or just at a sporting event.
Whew. I saw two guys almost getting a fight over a foul ball at the Nats game a couple months ago, but like in terms of like disgusting.
Different. Yeah, I'm talking about like disgusting things.
I don't think I've really ever noticed anything that stuck out to me. I'm not gonna lie. I think everyone around me has been pretty well behaved. What about you?
Oh my God. So I was a season ticket holder for 15 years for the Skins, all right? And we know FedEx is terrible, all right? So I never saw that. I definitely had one time where I walked into the bathroom and one guy was passed out on the toilet. Dropping a deuce. With the door open.
Yeah, I'm already picturing it. You don't need to help.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I hate that.
One of the weirdest things I saw was a guy passed out drunk in the first quarter, and you could just see him. I mean, he slept through the entire game. One of my friends once got into a fight because someone poured beer on him accidentally. When I was a kid, my dad and I would go to the games. When someone would spill beer on me, I would just, like, start licking it up. You know what I mean? Because I wasn't allowed to drink beer, and so I kind of liked it when someone spilled beer on me. But one time I was next to a huge fight between Giants fans and Redskins fans.
But when I was in section 126, and these were usually good fans, everyone was into the game and, you know, not really overserved. The funniest thing I saw at a game, though, was in my section, a guy was so blackout drunk in the first quarter, right, that he just started lighting a cigarette at his seat. He was, like, hiding under the seat and trying to smoke a Marlboro Light. And so, of course, as soon as that happened, so many people, including my dad, because my dad hates cigarette smoke, called security over, right, and told him to put it out. I'm not joking. Two quarters later, he did it again. And this time it was like the middle of the game was going on, and nobody cared. He was just smoking up like a chimney over there at his seat. At VCU games, I've definitely seen some drunk students thrown up in the stalls before. Saw the same thing in a Wizards game. Cheek, you know, so I actually got to cover the Capitals championship parade. That was the most drunk people I've ever seen in my life.
I'm sure.
That was awesome. The Nats, when they made their run, do you remember the bullpen was so damn crowded? You saw people, like, climbing through the windows to jump in because, like, that's how epic it was to be in on that. I just wish, and maybe someone could call in, an older head, right? You got to be older than 29 and have to be at VCU in 2011 for Broad Street when it was going nuts, when they were the Broad Street Bullies. You remember the stories, Cheeks? They were, like, burning couches.
Yeah.
And everyone was screaming, Final Four! Final Four! I mean, that's the real, like, party I wish I was here for.
I feel like when you're talking about, like, people cursing at other people and stuff from the stands, the main thing I can remember is Troy Apke still on the roster for the Commanders or no?
I think he was cut this year.
Okay, because when I went to the Seahawks game last December, just I'm pretty sure it was a then Washington football team fan. He just, like, yelled out, like, go F yourself, Troy Apke. And we all just, like, lost our minds. It was, like, I don't know why he said that. He wasn't doing anything. He didn't do anything particularly wrong one way or the other. But just out of nowhere, it was very funny. But that, like, in terms of disgusting, no. Fights, very few.
What would you do if you were, like, in that section, and you were close enough that, you know, some of her vomit landed on you? What would you do? Are you fine? Now, this woman looks like she's about 65 years
old. She does. I'm either calling security or just moving
snitch.
Because life's too short to get in a big argument over something like that. I'm telling everyone around her what's going on so that she's embarrassed by it, and then I'm moving.
Yeah, I don't know what I would
standing
do.
Standing room only because just, vomit.
I would move away, and here's what I would do. I would move down closer to the field, and then when security says those aren't your seats, I'm going to say, yeah, there's vomit on my seats.
Yeah, that's
so I'm
that's
moving down here.
Good process.
You know?
Yeah.
I would take every advantage after
yeah.
that. And just basically move to better seats.
Week one, and fans are already seats. In late season four.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's just the craziest thing ever.
I hated that video.
NFL games are nuts. You get the weirdest mix of people. You get, like,
yeah.
a lot of, like, especially for Commanders fans, you get all these rednecks that come up here from, like, Southern Virginia and stuff like that, and they love the team so much, and they just come up and they start drinking at 9 a.m. and they've by game time they've gone through about, you know, 12 beers. The Junkies have this guy that calls in all the time. His name is Drunk Mike. I met up with him at a game once. Here's what he does. He wears these biggest baggy jeans ever to games, and I'm gonna blow up his spot right now. I don't care. He wears these huge baggy jeans, and he takes his pants down. All right, I don't need to take my pants down to explain.
Please
to you.
Don't.
All right, but he takes duct tape and he tapes 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 beers to each of his legs.
So it's like he's smuggling cash out of, he's smuggling cash overseas, like the Wolf of Wall Street scene where
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's just taping these beers to his body, and then he showed me, he was like, he lifted up his pants, and in his, like, he's wearing whitey tighties, right?
Yeah.
And he taped those tight, and he's got about 8 Fireball airplane bottles in there. I mean, he just gets blackout drunk every single time. He gets into fights with people, and that's what you get at Commanders games, I guess. It's the weirdest groups of
people. Yeah, the diehards, and man, you get everybody. You get people with grills who blow up cars.
Right. NFL games are just
different breed,
crazy
man.
Experiences. Yeah, I don't know if I would bring my kids like my dad brought me when I was a young buck. And I just remember as a kid, yeah, beer was spilt on me, and like my dad would hate it. He would get so upset, and I kind of thought, hey, I'll take a sip of this. You know, a 12-year-old trying a Bud Light. Why not? I'm Adam Epstein. This has been AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910, The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Still to come on the show today, I'll be joined by Fred Smoot to give you a full preview for Commanders taking on the Detroit Lions. Can Washington go to 2-0 for the first time in a decade? Yes, it's been since 2011 when Rex Grossman was the quarterback. What happened that season? They started 2-0. After that, they won one of their next six games, ended the season 5-11. Hopefully that doesn't happen this season for Washington. I've got high hopes, and I think the NFL is trying to make Washington a playoff team. They're trying to help out the market, all right? It's like Roger Goodell's like, all right, you changed your name from Redskins. We appreciate that. You're going to do this Commanders thing. It's a terrible name, but we're going to give you the easiest schedule in the history of the NFL. No team has ever had to play the Jacksonville Jaguars and Detroit Lions in week one and week two. We're going to give that to you, Dan Snyder and Ron Rivera. We're going to give that to you. I'll be joined by Sam Munson to go around the NFL. He's from Pro Football Focus at 1:45. And Parney from the Flying Squirrels here at 2 p.m. to discuss the end of the regular season and next week's playoff game. It's going to be September 22nd at the Diamond. I'll be there. Cheek will be there. All of Richmond will be there. You don't want to miss it. I'm Adam Epstein. This is AWOD Radio on The Fan.
You're listening to Adam Epstein.
What could go wrong in Washington will go wrong. It's Murphy's Law of Washington.
Noon to 3 every day on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan.
The offense is going to be putting up 35 points a game. The defense is going to be giving up 36. I just know it in my blood. The offense is going to be top 5. The defense is going to be bottom 5. Team's going to be 500.
Now at 105.1 FM.
Welcome back. Happy Friday, everybody. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on the new Sports Radio 910, The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, live and local, as we are Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 p.m. here in Richmond, Virginia. And joining me right now on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline is my guy, former Commanders cornerback Fred Smoot. What's going on, Fred?
What's up, brother? I couldn't wait for you to give me a call so I could just rub this victory all in your face, because you know you are habitual negative Nelly when it comes to the Commanders. And brother, I ain't never feel so good to tell somebody they've been so wrong in my life. So hello, Mr. Wrong.
Fred, that's why I love having you on the show. Let's just ask a simple question here. Tell me what you liked about Carson Wentz's performance, because I really think that was the best QB debut I've ever seen from a guy in Washington, at least in my lifetime.
You are correct, and this is what I love to see. Like, listen, man, everybody be so hyped to see somebody go out and throw 5 touchdowns and no picks and just roll over people. I'm more excited because I got to see the highs, the mids, the lows. I got to see him take the lead. I had to see him come back. And guess what I want to see? I want to see him problem solve a situation, because that's what the year is. That's a microcosm of what a year of football is. You're going to have some high highs, some low lows, but can you get through them and pass them? And that's what I saw when he dropped that dime to Johan Dotson to take the lead. That's what I want to see. Can you make the clutch plays in the clutch time? And that's what he showed. So I'm behind Commander Wentz. And I told you when the year started with this wide receiving group. And don't forget, they finally starting to use Antonio Gibson like he's supposed to be used, like Eric Metcalf or Dave Megatron, that third down back, that guy that can get you 700 receiving, 700 rushing, another 800 returning. And then you bring in Brian Robinson. And I told you, Curtis Samuels, that Lambo been parked in the garage. We couldn't wait to take it for a spin.
Fred, I'm wondering, though, is there any point where you're going to say, we have too many weapons? Can we still get everyone involved? I want to play this audio from you from Terry McLaurin in the middle of the game.
One-on-one, they can't guard you. One-on-one, they can't guard you. They know they can't guard me.
I mean, I love that confidence, but at one point, is there, hey, we have too many guys for Carson to spread the ball around?
Hey, first of all, you ain't never met a military that say we got too many soldiers. You show me a military with too many soldiers, and I show you a global power. So at the end of the day, you can never have too many soldiers and too many people that can add to this victory. That's the fun thing about it. We still haven't showed all our weapons. I just told you Brian Robinson ain't played yet. Cole Turner, who is a big wide receiver playing tight end, ain't even played yet. You got to be excited about this team. And don't forget this. Carson Wentz is still only 4 quarters old in this offense. Scott Turner has a lot of weapons that he gets to let loose. And I told you, Curtis Samuels is the ultimate Swiss Army knife. They don't know how to play him.
Joined by Fred Smoot here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. I'm Adam Epstein. This is AWOD Radio. here on the new Sports Radio 910, The Fan, now at 105, 1 FM. The defense in that first quarter was really bend but don't break type of defense. They gave up a field goal on the opening drive, and it just felt like there was a lot of penalties on the cornerbacks, on the secondary. What did you make of Kendall Fuller, Benjamin St. Juice, William Jackson III, and the rest of the secondary throughout the whole game against the Jags?
They got to play better. I need to slug more to the ball. I want to see coach put them in more press coverage situations. They need to start to disguise a little bit better more. I did enjoy watching the conversations them had, them being on the same page on plays. So they did give us some plays, but they gave us those plays being beat individually. They didn't give up them plays being in the wrong spot, not doing the wrong thing, and I can respect somebody giving up a play just because somebody outplayed me. The other team get paid also. But I want to see them more snug in coverage, and I want to see them start to use that pass rush as their weapon. And that's why I said if you go up and press, now you take all the guessing game out of it, and now the quarterback got to make quicker decisions. And I'm expecting to see this because the Lions have a legit wide receiving core over there.
Fred, my favorite thing to watch from the defense was seeing Montez Sweat and Jonathan Allen being on the same page all game long. They worked off each other. Daron Payne was great as well, and we attacked on third downs. That was so great to see. It felt like this season so far, Jack Del Rio has been taking more chances and blitzing more.
Yes, he needs to. We understand what hot seat he's on at this time, so he needs to. And Montez Sweat, when you let that dog loose, he can play. He was 2 inches, 3 inches away from 3 sacks in his game, man. They just tell you how close they're getting, and wait Chase come back. And that's what I really enjoyed about last year. When we had so many people hurt, it allowed so many young players to get so many plays under their belt, and I think they're starting to show in the depth that we got.
Has a coach ever dressed you down like Jack Del Rio did to Jamin Davis, Fred? Because he said to him straight up, you have to be better. And I've watched the film. Travis Etienne could have scored 3 times when Jamin Davis was covering him.
Oh, yeah, I have. I remember Greg Williams. We hadn't even played a dime. He came right in and totally verbally attacked me. One, like he told me, one, I know you can handle it. Two, I need to set the tone with the rest of the team. And three, you're going to have to tackle more than you've been tackling. And I want you to tackle more harder. And just him knowing who he can attack and who he can't. But sometimes when the spotlight is on you, the spotlight is on you. You draft the first round, there's going to be a lot of expectations. And at one point, you got to turn the corner. But I also asked Del Rio, if you got a player that's doing a lot of thinking, take the thinking from him. Go and put him on the other side of the line and make sure he's blitzing most of the time.
Tell me a little bit more about when Greg Williams did that to you. I mean, did that mess with your confidence? And how do you think Jamin is handling it, man?
It'll mess up my confidence because I was coming off a great year. But he, like I said, he knew my personality. He know I'm going to laugh it off anyway because he know I'm going to call him out when he calls and want to play for us. So it does nothing to me because I have the type of personality to handle that. The question is, what type of personality does Jamin Davis have? Is he want to take that as an insult and kind of get under himself? Or he takes it as a challenge and say, you know what, I'm going to show him what I got.
Joined by Fred Smoot here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. I'm Adam Epstein. And Fred, I heard you say on a podcast, this isn't your grandma's Detroit Lions. They scored 35 points on the Eagles. It's a different team. They've gotten, you know, Dan Campbell's getting the boys fired up. I've liked what I've seen from them in Hard Knocks. But give me a breakdown. How do you expect this game to play out between Washington and the Lions?
And you know what? That's what is going on. Like, they're a tough team. I love the pedigree. I love the old all ex-football player coach staff. But at the end of the day, this is why everybody has fell in love with the old Detroit Lions, because of Hard Knocks. It's like when you see a reality show of the longest running reality show, which is called football, you fall in love with characters, everybody. Half-wise of Potomac, anything. Love and hip-hop, you just fall in love with these people, knowing they're showing you who they really are anyway. At the end of the day, these Lions, if you let them play with you, they will play with you. But I'm sorry. If you go in there and put your feet on their neck and go on, put them behind a ball and take all the hope out the stadium, you can get out of there. But I just don't think you want to wrestle with these guys. Do not wrestle with these guys. Go and do what you got to do, handle business, and get out of there. And I'm sure this is what coach is firing them up. Because coach telling them, you know Detroit has not been picked to win a football game by Vegas since Franklin D. Roosevelt was in office, and now y'all are the team that they picked. He's using that as fuel.
I can't even remember that, Fred.
That was so long ago. I think we were signing a big deal. I don't know if it was Franklin or Theodore. I don't know who was in office.
It feels like to me the game plan for Washington has to be to start hot. I mean, last week that was the key. First two drives, two touchdowns, 14 points on the board. I think you got to hit Detroit right in the face. You got to knock them out right away with a couple drives down the field and then let your defense get after the quarterback. That's my key.
And that, too, you are true. You are very true. And don't you know, those first two touchdowns we scored were the first time we did that since 1991, since we won the Super Bowl. That's the first time we scored on the opening two drives in a game since the Super Bowl year. You know, it just that tells you the lack of quarterbacking we've had around here. And here's the thing about Carson. He can only get better if he continues to play in the Scott Turner offense. A lot of love Scott Turner, too. Really yeah. Mixing it up, really showing a lot of variety on offense, giving us a chance to win the ball game.
Fred, let's get your thoughts here on the most inspirational story in the NFL right now. That's Brian Robinson Jr., who was doing ladder drills yesterday. I mean, the knee is still wrapped up, but the other knee is looking good. It's so cool right now. We're all hoping he can come back and dominate. What's your take on this whole thing, man?
Man, you know what? Glad to see him able to do what he loved to do. Got the reports when it first happened that, you know, luckily it wasn't as serious as, you know, everybody thought it was. He's healing up. You know, that's what happened when you're 20, 21 years old. You just heal, right? You know, I don't have that ability no more. My hip get the hurt, I'll be down for a week. But, you know, blessing that he's bouncing back from it. A quiet story, and I think it's an incomplete story because anytime I see tragedy, I see a light for somebody to do something special. Imagine if this kid gets shot at the beginning of the year and then comes out and wins Rookie of the Year. We've seen these stories happen before, and I think this kid has the capability to really live up to it.
Fred, the last thing I want to ask you is we heard a lot of positive feedback from fans about going to the home game, the inaugural season here for the Commanders at FedEx Field. But I think the real test is going to be when the Eagles fans come to town. That's where we're really going to see if the Commanders fans are showing up or if the away fans are going to take over FedEx.
Well, first of all, that environment was the best environment I've seen there since probably RG3's rookie year.
Wow.
Back when I played, I looked at the stats. It was capacity to 91%. We haven't seen that in decades. It was energy everywhere. It was loud. It was, man, I almost shed a tear. I haven't been in FedEx. It's been like that almost since I played. It was electric. And we got to keep it going. The fans had to feel how much they changed the game. We can't let Philadelphia come in here and take over our stadium. We can't let nobody. Cause I challenge them to let nobody take over our stadium. I don't care what's going on. And then here's the funny thing. Talking to a guy like Terry McLaurin, a guy that's been a Washington Redskins, a Washington football team player, and now a Washington Commander say he's never played in front of that many people at that stadium. That's a damn shame. We should have gave him that luxury.
Fred, always appreciate you taking the time to join the show, man. Thanks so much.
Hey, anytime, brother, but thank you for being wrong. I continue to talk to you, and I hope you're wrong even more during the season.
Let's get a win this weekend. I'm Adam Epstein. This is AWOD Radio on The Fan. Welcome back. Happy Friday. I'm Adam Epstein. This is AWOD Radio here on the new sports radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. You can stream the show throughout the country on the Odyssey app. Doesn't matter if you're on the East Coast or the West Coast, download the Odyssey app and listen today for free. If you missed any of the show, you can also check out the podcast at AWOD Radio on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe, leave us a review, a comment, let us know what you think of the show. Phone lines are always open, 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910, or you can tweet me at AWOD Radio. Still to come, we'll go around the NFL with Sam Munson from Pro Football Focus at 1:45, Parney, the CEO of the Flying Squirrels at 2 p.m., and Zach Joaquin to talk high school football here in the 804 at 2:30. But right now, let's go around the NFL with NFL Hits.
Every regular season matchup, every head coach on the hot seat, the hit stories in the NFL. NFL Hits on AWOD Radio.
All right, how about that broadcast last night on Amazon? Look, the broadcast at points in the, it looked normal. At points, it was kind of, you know, getting going in and out, and maybe that was just my internet. But I felt trapped watching the game because I couldn't change the channel during commercials, right? When it's on cable, it's just so easy to go left or right, or, you know, sometimes I'll put on Seinfeld for 5 seconds or Modern Family during commercials. You're stuck, you know?
Yeah.
Did you feel that way watching it?
A little bit. I ended up having the truck race on the TV and football on my laptop. And, well, football until that started. But I did feel trapped in terms of, like, I want to know what's happening, but I can't really do much else on my computer because my attention's in, like, 3 different places at once. But when I had it on, yeah, I was like, I can only just use my computer. I can't switch to another channel and see what's going on with something else.
So, look, I didn't mind it. I know some older folks out there listening probably had trouble finding the game. I know even a friend of mine who's 29 years old turned on cable and was like going through all the channels and was freaking out because he couldn't find it until he reminded himself it was on Amazon. But really, when I was watching the game, the only thing I could think about was this. This is it. This is the beginning of the war. The streaming wars.
You want to know what the only thing on my mind was for the game? This.
McKay just sitting back there waiting, just waiting to see if this is a screen. He's almost getting out there before Eckler even has a chance to catch the...
That fan kept that up the entire game.
I couldn't even really hear it.
And I had to have it on half mute. I can't... Three things should have happened. One, they should have taken the field mic and moved it because people were complaining about it. Two, that fan should have been ejector seated from the stadium. Or three, the fans in that area should have turned on her. I do not understand how someone kept that up and didn't lose their voice for the whole game.
I didn't think Kirk Herbstreit sounded that great.
No.
I think he's so much better at college football.
Al was good.
Al was good, as always. Al is a professional.
Yeah,
you know?
He's great.
But what was missing with Al was the Collinsworth slide, right, which we loved from last season.
True.
But the whole time I was watching it, I was like, yeah, this really is the beginning of the war, the streaming wars. You had Jeff Bezos in attendance there, saying hi to fans, then he was up there with Roger Goodell. And I can't wait to find out how many people, after the game, watched Rings of Power or watched something else on the Amazon app, right? I guarantee you there were a bunch of people that stayed on the app for hours after the game. I can't wait for Netflix to get into sports or HBO or Apple or Disney. This is the future. Like it, love it, hate it. It just is. This is the future of streaming services.
I like their panel. Like, I like Al Michaels and I like Kirk Herbstreit fine. I like their post-game and pre-game panel of, who was it? Chris Thompson, Sherman, Tony.
Those guys
and
were great.
Fitz. They were great.
Richard Sherman was the best.
Yeah.
The way he was breaking down the corners and basically he was just saying, they're not scared of the Chiefs. Mike Williams is going one-on-one. You don't have Tyrann Mathieu anymore or anything like that. Sherman was excellent. Fitzpatrick was okay.
Yeah, it's Fitz magic. I like him anyway.
He was cool, and like the beard, he just looked kind of weird with the giant beard on TV. Who else was the other guy?
Carissa Thompson and Tony Gonzalez, who's amazing.
Tony's okay. Carissa's annoying. I've never been a fan of hers. Mm.
Can't say I've seen enough to have an opinion one way or the other.
Oh, you can see enough if you Google her on the dark web.
You know what I meant.
Yeah, well.
She's not on enough broadcasts.
You know what I mean.
I don't watch enough pre or post to really have much opinion on like the hosts on like general networks, but you know.
Look, I thought the broadcast was okay, but I get the biggest thing is with streaming, you have the issues where if you have an internet issue, the broadcast is going to suck for a lot of people.
Yeah, mine did end up buffering a bit.
Mad Dog took to the radio airwaves this morning, and he was not happy, and I thought this was pretty hilarious. Let's take a listen.
You know who's happy about the game tonight? The 32 owners who can split a billion. That's who's happy about it. The Arthur Blanks of the world. That is who is pleased. They don't give a garbage. They don't care where the game is. The idea that anybody in the NFL or any owner or player for that matter, because they benefit as it's trickled down in the next player labor negotiation, that's all they want is the money. They'll play 30 games if it means more money. They proved that when they agreed to the 17-game schedule a year and a half ago. The bottom line is about these owners, they don't care where the games are on. And Arthur's sitting there in his flip-flops tonight, still stewing over that loss to the Saints. Artie's sitting there with his flip-flops tonight, our pal, down in Atlanta, asking his grandkids, can you find the game? I don't know how to handle a remote. Can you find it with his milk and cookies at 8:15? And then when a grandkid can't find a game, he's throwing the remote at the TV set. But they doesn't get too mad because he looks at his checkbook and realizes, well, look at that. They gave us a billion for this, the dopes. For 13 games, they gave us $1 billion. You know what? If I miss it, I'll live. Oh, come on. You know, another thing for Raj, all right? Look, I looked at this Thursday night schedule on Amazon.
Part.
If this is such a historic, incredible, once-in-a-lifetime event, then somebody explain to me, and you know, this is something that is unique and nothing that we're ever going to change, that how the hell on December 22nd is the Thursday night game on Amazon, Jacksonville to Jets? All right? If this is one of the great events in the history of mankind, this is the advent of television, this is Red Barber doing the Brooklyn Dodgers, okay? In, or the first ball game from Crosley Field, 1939 on television. With 400 sets. And this is the Celtics-Hawks 56 Game 7 on television. If this is such an historic event that Amazon has this game, well, look at us pound our chests out with a great, mighty NFL. Once again, we're ahead of the curve. If that is the case, Raj, how the hell is Jacksonville playing the Jets on December 22nd?
Now, that's an excellent rant. It really
it is
from the Mad Dog.
How does he do that?
He just gets upset about things.
How does he yell for 2 minutes straight?
Have you heard my show before, Cheek? All right, it can be done. Here's what I'll say, though. Like, I do think, though, that as much as he's ranting about it, it really was a big deal last night.
It was.
And think about this, Cheek, because we've been around since Amazon was just selling books.
Mm-hmm.
How big has that company gotten to be? Oh, my goodness. How did they get involved with the NFL?
And it's like when Thursday Night Football wasn't on it, when it wasn't like this big, you know, oh, my God, it's on streaming thing. Like, you know, you'd have these clunker matches, you'd have good matchups. But now it's like he's saying, if it's this momentous thing, it's Chargers Chiefs to lead things off, which is great, and the Jaguars Jets in December.
You can't have a good matchup every week.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Man.
And maybe they're hoping that the Jags are going to surprise people this year.
That's the pre-Christmas matchup. Man.
Well,
I hate that.
But look, this is the new way of sports programming. It's going to be streaming services.
Someone called the TNF logo on the microphones look like it was designed by a Nick Jr. graphic artist or something. And I'm like, yeah, it kind of does.
I actually really like the split screen that they were doing where they're like, look, I have a video editing background.
Mm-hmm.
I think they did a great job. I think they did a good
with
everything
like,
about
the
it.
Dude Perfect stuff.
No. That stuff was terrible. And then the other one where you could watch the receivers, like it would show their routes as they were running.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of weird. The main broadcast looked beautiful. The editing was great. The split screens that they would do, lower thirds, everything like that. Like it felt like they didn't just hire Al Michaels. They hired everyone that works in the truck also for Thursday Night Football.
Good.
And it looked good.
I don't like Al not being on Sundays. I miss that. But
well.
It did look good.
It took a couple million.
Production wise, it was pretty good, except for Woo Lady.
Well,
I'm still mad about
but
that.
But it was a great game.
It was.
It was a great game. How about Justin Herbert fighting through the pain and almost coming back for the win? But that, did you see?
Why
we're going to have to break this down
time?
Later.
Okay,
but
yeah.
That guy Everett, he's the reason they lost the game. Why didn't they take him out or call time? It was such a dumb mistake. That's on coaching. That's Brandon Staley. I'm Adam Epsi. This is AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Don't go anywhere.